time we talk about two meals which are very, very British. My favourite, the full English breakfast.
And my favourite is the Sunday roast. So, Jackie, tell us about the full English breakfast.
Well, it's a cooked meal, right? And it's very, very large. Now, there can be a number of different things, but usually it has bacon.
Crispy.
Mm-hmm. Fried egg.
Or even two.
Sausage.
Or two.
Or three. Fried mushrooms, baked beans, and fried tomatoes.
But you've missed something, Jackie.
Yeah, it comes with either fried bread or lots of buttered toast, and often a large cup of tea.
That's a lot of fried food.
I know, it is, isn't it? And that's why sometimes it's called a fry-up.
It's not very healthy, though, is it, Jackie?
Not at all.
So it would definitely be wrong to say that we eat this every morning.
No, in fact, we never have it at home, do we? But it's very popular to eat out in a cafe or a pub. We had a great one the last time we visited the Isle of Man.
Yes, and it's not just for breakfast, though, is it?
No. Many cafes serve it all day. It's delicious.
Yes, but not as delicious as the Sunday roast.
Okay, Richard, tell us, what's the Sunday roast then?
Well, a Sunday roast is a traditional British meal that's usually served on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's roasted. It's roasted meat.
What, beef, lamb or chicken normally, isn't it?
Yes. With roast potatoes, Yorkshire pudding and lots of other vegetables. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, carrots, cauliflower.
Parsnips,
yes. I love parsnips or peas.
Now, and of course, Richard, lots and lots of hot gravy.
Yes, delicious.
Now, so what is Yorkshire pudding?
It's called Yorkshire pudding, but it's very popular throughout Britain. And it's the same as pancakes with eggs, flour and milk, but it's cooked in the oven, not in a frying pan. You can either have one big one or lots of small ones.
It sounds very strange. Why do we have that?
Well, in the past, the pudding was served first. So therefore, it makes you less hungry for the more expensive meat afterwards. But now we eat it all at the same time.
Now, we do have this on a regular basis. You make it most weekends.
Yes, especially roast chicken. That's my favourite meal.
Time we talk about two meals which are very, very British. My favourite, the full English breakfast.
And my favourite is the Sunday roast. So, Jackie, tell us about the full English breakfast.
Well, it's a cooked meal, right? And it's very, very large. Now, there can be a number of different things, but usually it has bacon.
Crispy.
Mm-hmm. Fried egg.
Or even two.
Sausage.
Or two.
Or three. Fried mushrooms, baked beans and fried tomatoes.
But you've missed something, Jackie.
Yeah, it comes with either fried bread or lots of buttered toast and often a large cup of tea.
That's a lot of fried food.
I know, it is, isn't it? And that's why sometimes it's called a fry-up.
It's not very healthy, though, is it, Jackie?
Not at all.
So it would definitely be wrong to say that we eat this every morning.
No, in fact, we never have it at home, do we? But it's very popular to eat out in a cafe or a pub. We had a great one the last time we visited the Isle of Man.
Yes, and it's not just for breakfast, though, is it?
No. Many cafes serve it all day. It's delicious.
Yes, but not as delicious as the Sunday roast.
Okay, Richard, tell us, what's the Sunday roast then?
Well, a Sunday roast is a traditional British meal that's usually served on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's roasted. It's roasted meat.
What, beef, lamb or chicken normally, isn't it?
Yes. With roast potatoes, Yorkshire pudding and lots of other vegetables. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, carrots, cauliflower.
Parsnips,
yes. I love parsnips or peas.
Now, and of course, Richard, lots and lots of hot gravy.
Yes, delicious.
Now, so what is Yorkshire pudding?
It's called Yorkshire pudding, but it's very popular throughout Britain. And it's the same as pancakes with eggs, flour and milk, but it's cooked in the oven, not in a frying pan. You can either have one big one or lots of small ones.
It sounds very strange. Why do we have that?
Well, in the past, the pudding was served first. So therefore, it makes you less hungry for the more expensive meat afterwards. But now we eat it all at the same time.
Now, we do have this on a regular basis. You make it most weekends.
Yes, especially roast chicken. That's my favourite meal.
The most common way to buy second-hand items in the past was in charity shops, which are called thrift stores in the United States. Charity shops are shops where second-hand clothes, books, pieces of furniture and other items are sold in order to raise money for a specific cause. Some of the charities raise money for the elderly or for research, such as Age UK, British Heart Foundation, and Cancer Research UK, whereas others collect funds for animal shelters, for example. Normally, people donate the things that they no longer want to or use so that the charity shop can resell the products. According to the Charity Retail Association, there are more than 11,000 charity shops in the UK, and over 180,000 people volunteer to keep these shops running. These shops are quite high if we compare them to those of other countries. And if you've ever been to the UK, you will have seen a lot of them on the high street. So you won't be surprised when I tell you that 3.6% of retail units in the UK are charity shops. One of the main reasons why people buy second-hand items is because it's much more affordable if we compare it to buying brand new products. The average price of a clothing item in a British charity shop is £3.90 for women and £4 for men. In euros, that's £4.50 for women and £4.60 for men. I'm not sure about the prices of clothes where you live, but in Europe, the cheapest plain and simple t-shirt in a standard clothes shop is normally around €6. So it works out a lot cheaper to buy second-hand items. Another reason why people choose to buy second-hand products is because they want to protect the planet. According to the Charity Retail Association, British charity shops saved 339,000 tons from being disposed of, which means thrown away, in 2018 and 2019. So if people hadn't donated these items, all of it would have been incinerated or sent to a landfill. Plus, not only would we lose all those products if people didn't buy secondhand, we would also have made others buy brand new products. So, in the end, we would use double the amount of resources and we would also be polluting our planet even more by adding to landfills. Nowadays, there are also online second-hand shops like eBay, Depop, Vinted, Gumtree or even Facebook Marketplace. The main difference between charity shops and these websites or apps is that individual sellers can advertise their products and the money that is earned from the sales goes to the seller, not to a charity. This way of buying and selling has become quite popular because you can get rid of the things that you no longer need or use, and you can also get some money from it. One of the aspects that I most like about apps like Vinted or Depop is that there is a lot of variety, as people from all over Europe can sell their products on the same platform. I've bought quite a few dresses and blouses from people from other countries, and the postage costs aren't too bad, as it normally costs around €4 or €5 to send it. The most common way to buy second-hand items in the past was in charity shops, which are called thrift stores in the United States. Charity shops are shops where second-hand clothes, books, pieces of furniture and other items are sold in order to raise money for a specific cause. Some of the charities raise money for the elderly or for research, such as Age UK, British Heart Foundation, and Cancer Research UK, whereas others collect funds for animal shelters, for example. Normally, people donate the things that they no longer want to or use so that the charity shop can resell the products. According to the Charity Retail Association, there are more than 11,000 charity shops in the UK, and over 180,000 people volunteer to keep these shops running. These shops are quite high if we compare them to those of other countries. And if you've ever been to the UK, you would have seen a lot of them on the high street. So you won't be surprised when I tell you that 3.6% of retail units in the UK are charity shops. One of the main reasons why people buy second-hand items is because it's much more affordable if we compare it to buying brand new products. The average price of a clothing item in a British charity shop is £3.90 for women and £4 for men. In euros, that's £4.50 for women and £4.60 for men. I'm not sure about the prices of clothes where you live, but in Europe, the cheapest plain and simple t-shirt in a standard clothes shop is normally around €6. So it works out a lot cheaper to buy second-hand items. Another reason why people choose to buy second-hand products is because they want to protect the planet. According to the Charity Retail Association, British charity shops saved 339,000 tons from being disposed of, which means thrown away, in 2018 and 2019. So if people hadn't donated these items, all of it would have been incinerated or sent to a landfill. Plus, not only would we lose all those products if people didn't buy secondhand, we would also have made others buy brand new products. So, in the end, we would use double the amount of resources, and we would also be polluting our planet even more by adding to landfills. Nowadays, there are also online second-hand shops like eBay, Depop, Vinted, Gumtree, or even Facebook Marketplace. The main difference between charity shops and these websites or apps is that individual sellers can advertise their products, and the money that is earned from the sales goes to the seller, not to a charity. This way of buying and selling has become quite popular because you can get rid of the things that you no longer need or use, and you can also get some money from it. One of the aspects that I most like about apps like Vinted or Depop is that there is a lot of variety, as people from all over Europe can sell their products on the same platform. I've bought quite a few dresses and blouses from people from other countries, and the postage costs aren't too bad, as it normally costs around €4 or €5 to send it.